This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, February 10th, 2020. I'm Caleb Brown. Now that Brexit is a done deal, the EU and UK will be negotiating trade deals separately, including one with each other. How will that play out, and is Boris Johnson the free trader that we might hope? Cato's Simon Lester comments. Now that the United Kingdom is out of the European Union, I spoke with Ryan Bourne about this recently. And one of the concerns that I had was, well, maybe with the UK out of the European Union, we might see a lot more illiberal policies come out of the United Kingdom. In the realm of trade, how likely do you think that is?
Well, I have the same concerns that you do, and we'll see where things go on trade. Prime Minister Boris Johnson gave a long speech about this just on February 3rd, I think. And he said a lot of good things about trade. He certainly was talking the talk about how, you know, free trade is good and the UK should be a role model, and the UK, you know, will go back to its former status as a promoter of free trade throughout the world. So that was all good to hear. There are some worrying things going on when the UK renegotiates its trade relationship with the EU. There's the potential here to keep a fairly good trading relationship, but some of the rhetoric, the political posturing that's being done from Boris Johnson and others really worries me. And I would hate for the UK, no matter how idealistic some of its leaders sound at times, I would hate for them to end up in a place where they couldn't negotiate a new trade agreement with the EU or couldn't negotiate one with the US, and we just end up with more tariffs. So I'm hopeful that some of the positive rhetoric can turn into real policy, but there's a lot of negative things being said as well. I think that from the perspective of policy scholars here at Cato, we're going to try to push everybody in the right direction. But when politics gets involved, it's sometimes hard to get real policy into the conversation.
How important is it for the rest of the world, particularly the United States, that the European Union and the United Kingdom have a strong, robust free trade agreement?
I think it would really be of great benefit to the UK and to the EU mostly, but to the rest of the world as well. Many companies have set up their operation. This is producers of manufactured products, producers of services, suppliers of services. They've set up their operations in a way that assumes a tightly integrated UK and EU market. And if suddenly that disappears and everybody has to adjust, I don't think the world is better off if people are having to tear down factories and build new ones to readjust to barriers being reimposed. I think there, with any disruption in trade or policy in general, you're going to find winners and losers. I mean, somebody's going to find a way. If the UK is no longer supplying the EU for a particular product, somebody else will step in and supply it, and they'll benefit from it. But on the whole, when you see trade barriers being imposed, what you're seeing is an overall reduction of welfare. So I think that the global economy and then specific national economies will be worse off if the UK and EU can't keep to a somewhat, it'll be less free trade relationship than it was before, but at least keep it within reason and don't go back to, the UK doesn't want to be in a position where it's just the Australia or the US who just trades, with the EU on the usual terms, which means you're going to pay a lot of tariffs and face a lot of other barriers.
So what is the risk that you see of the European Union trying to get the United Kingdom essentially back into the fold, in a sense, that is abiding by a bunch of European Union rules that that would have continued to govern the UK had they stayed in the European
Union? Yeah, I think that, if you look at some of the EU draft negotiating mandates and some of the things their negotiators have been saying, they're expressing concern about the UK deregulating or offering new subsidies in a way that gives them an unfair advantage, and they want rules to deal with it. And I think the Europeans are exaggerating those fears a bit. And the problem in the negotiations seems to be that the way the Europeans are presenting it is really putting the Brits off, and they're reacting badly to this. And so each side is going through this routine of political politics posturing that I think just it sets a bad tone. It leads to distrust. So I think that what I'm hopeful is that the actual negotiators behind the scenes are being a little more nuanced about this. Look, trade agreements these days all say something about regulations. What we want to avoid is a really strictly worded trade agreement between the UK and the EU that says the UK can't deviate from EU regulations, because that won't work. The UK is not going to agree to that. So you've got to write it with some flexibility that says, yeah, generally speaking, we'd like to keep in rough alignment in terms of our regulations, but, you know, gives a little flexibility to diverge for various reasons. So I think there's a way for the two sides to get together and have some wording that you know, they can both point to and say, hey, we got what we wanted. And it's the political posturing that I think makes it, you know, there's an increasing likelihood that we just won't get a deal at all. And the UK and EU, instead of having a customs union and no borders to deal with, they're going to have borders and they're going to have to pay tariffs when they cross them.
So just to be clear, about half of the trade that the UK engages in, a cross-border trade, is with the European Union.
The European Union is their biggest trading partner, and that's just, look, it's the size of the European Union's economy. It's the geographic location. It's right there. The United States is also a big economy, and I'm hopeful that the U.S. and U.K. can sign a trade agreement and, you know, increase trade between each other, but there's just no getting away from the fact that the European Union is going to be the U.K.'s biggest trading partner, and they really need to maintain a good trade relationship.
Now, how much power does Boris Johnson have with respect to trying to assure free trade, and is he really a free trader?
Yeah, it's hard to get in the heads of these politicians. I try my best. Reading over his speech the other day and just sort of having a general sense of him, I think he is a free trader. I mean, I think that, you know, not a perfect one, not a pure one, and he's a politician. He's going to make compromises. But certainly it came across, the way he presented the argument came across as authentic and knowledgeable. I'm certainly in strong contrast to somebody like Donald Trump when you hear Trump talk about trade. So I'm somewhat reassured that Boris Johnson really does believe in this. You know, in terms of his power over things, you know, he did just achieve some great political successes. So I can see how, you know, for the time being domestically, he's got a fair amount of power. You know, people should look at him as somebody who got things done. And, you know, if he got Brexit done, which I think we have to give him credit for, you know, and if he wants a free trade agreement with the U.S. or a free trade agreement with the EU, I would give him the benefit of the doubt and see, you know, give him a chance to make it happen. I did worry, though, about the political posturing. As I said, I mean, I don't know that that's very valuable. And I think it undermines the negotiation more than it helps. And I think he'd be better off really not saying anything. You know, I can see how there are people in the UK who are put off by the European Union demands on a level playing field. Basically, you know, the UK shouldn't diverge from EU regulations. But I don't think you need to fight this out in the media. You know, just let the negotiator sit down and try to work on some language that you know, smooths over these differences. And making a big speech and calling out your rivals, your negotiating rivals, I'm just not sure it helps. But, you know, look, as I said, you know, he got some things done recently. Let's see what he can do here.
The United States now has two new agreements to negotiate, and presumably other countries do as well. Is there anything that changes substantially between the United States and the European Union now that Great Britain is no longer a part of it?
I think that with regard to U.S.-EU talks, we've been down this road. You know, President Obama tried really hard to get a big trade agreement with the EU, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TTIP, and he failed. I mean, they said, we're going to focus on regulatory issues, and I think that was just too much. The differences were too great. President Trump's giving it another shot in his own way, and his way is to impose tariffs and threaten tariffs and use that leverage to get people to cave in, to make concessions. And that's what he's trying with the EU. I don't think there's much hope for a broad and comprehensive trade deal with the EU right now. I do think that, you know, there might be a few products here and there where the EU has been reluctant to approve the sale of the U.S. agriculture product, for example, there, and maybe in the reverse, the U.S. has been reluctant to approve the sale of a European product. And so we can have some product-specific deals, you know, get enough done that we can have a big press conference and say, hey, you know, we've achieved victory, we've had some success. But I think sort of a broader reimagining of the U.S.-EU trade relationship is not coming anytime soon.
Simon Lester is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.